But we're not taking action right at this moment. We're preparing for action, perhaps. So what are we going to do with the knowledge that we have? And there's lots of things that can be done, but actually doing something, that impresses the soul more than anything else. And when the soul sees that you are useful, then it will be more encouraged to step down and to make contact with you, because it's discomforting for the soul to leave its realm and work with you, because your higher self would prefer to stay in its realm, where it has 100% peace, joy, and comfort, nothing to worry about. And then you reach a point to where you are approaching the soul and become a useful tool in not only your own progression, but you're able to help other people. And when the soul sees that you become group conscious in the fact that you're willing to help other people, then the soul will think, well, might be worth my while to pay more attention to this person, to my lower self, and maybe he or she is willing to actually listen. Well, a great example of somebody helping somebody was Lorraine was feeling discouraged. Had a talk with Adam, and Adam gave her a lot of encouragement, and she decided that she had the means and ability to come to the gathering after all, and she really appreciated that, didn't she, Rudy?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so Adam's soul is probably looking down on that and said, Adam's, he's becoming worthwhile to maybe pay some attention to this guy.
He's useful.
Not only his soul, but all of the souls in his soul group that are in the spirit world are looking at Adam. You know, we all have friends in spirit, and it's something that sometimes overlooked.
You know, we come to life and into a group of souls of similar karma, similar development. And not all of that soul group incarnates. Some of them are still either waiting to be incarnated or having been through the process. But in each soul group, it's like an ashram. And there's a master of that ashram, the master teacher. And it's something that we don't hear mentioned that often, but we're not here alone. And I know that in my life, I've had the opportunity to have a lot of associations with things that most people wouldn't believe. But it exists. That we are not alone.
Do you think you've met anyone in this life from your soul group?
I think I have. I know I have. I mean, I know that every one of us who follow the same thread of spiritual progress and inquiry, we're all part of that soul group.
Yeah, Michael Newton did regression of 10,000 people, and they all come up with the same story about the soul groups. That each one of us, he says, has between 6 to 12 people in our soul group. And then there's groups of soul groups, and higher groups, and so on. But among your personal soul group, say there's 10 people in your soul group, there may be 4 or 5 of them incarnated, and the rest of them are still in the kingdom of the soul. But among the ones that are incarnated, they don't incarnate with all of their consciousness and life force. They, on the average, they incarnate with about 25%. So Tyler over here, he's just 25% here. And 75% of him is still on the other side doing all kinds of things. Okay, so that 75% of him is waiting for Tyler to get sensitive enough and useful enough, not only to overcome the physical, the emotional, the mental, but to be of service, to be useful to the soul. When the soul sees that he is useful, then he will say, or it will say, well, I think I can make use of this character down here. He's a little rough, but I think I can make use of him and further him along the path so we can eventually unite in maybe not this life, but maybe the next life, you know. And maybe this life, if Tyler makes a lot of progress. And so, the end part is making yourself useful. And DK said, makes this an interesting statement. He said, a lot of people think that the ultimate is to be a good person and to obey commandments and to be spiritual. And he says, this is just a step. He says, what the hierarchy looks for is people that are useful, okay, that have developed abilities and are useful tools in the hands of higher forces. Okay, so if Tyler's just a really decent person, doesn't lie, cheat, or steal, but he doesn't do anything, he's not useful yet, even though he's a great, he's a really nice guy. But he has to become useful. And the more useful tool he becomes, the more chances he has of attracting his soul. And then his soul will say, I am going to put this guy to use and give him some extra encouragement and extra spiritual energy sent his way.
Is what you're saying largely irrespective of, you know, mastering your physical appetites, your emotions, and the mind, is that, can this happen before those things happen, you know, being useful to humanity, or is it mainly kind of after you've already gone through that?
Well, that's a good question, yeah. Oftentimes, the hierarchy has to pick somebody for service that isn't really highly spiritually evolved, you know, hasn't been a monk in a monastery or something like that, or non-spiritual student of some kind, but he's just a person that really wants to help other people and be of service to humanity. And so sometimes, quite often as a matter of fact, they have to pick somebody that's just a fairly ordinary guy in many respects, except for that one thing, that the guy is willing to do whatever is necessary to be of service.
Well, Blavatsky, she swore like a trooper and smoked and drank and carried on, and yet she was useful. I remember when in the 70s, you would, I'd be riding with a pen and you'd walk up and say, oh, I think I can use that. You say that to anything that around us that he took a liking to. That phone, I think I can use that. And that's kind of how the masters are. They're looking at people and saying, Joe, I think I can use him.
Did I ever tell you where I got that from? When we first moved into our house and we moved into this old house in Letha with a bunch of trees around it. And I chopped down the bunch of the trees and made poles to make a fence. And as I was piling these poles up, this neighbor come over. His name was Willard, and he was a little bit mentally deficient. He was watching me for about 20 minutes. And then all of a sudden he grabbed one of the best poles that I had there. He said, I think I can use this. And he just took off with it. And the next church, after church was over, I told my friends about that. And they thought that was the funniest thing they ever heard.
It was funny.
And so it kind of spread around. We would grab stuff from each other. Oh, I think I can use it.
That's
That's where that comes from, Curtis. I don't know if I ever told you.
Yeah, you did tell me that, but I forgot.
Just shout out.
We have a comment back here.
Emmanuel has a question.
Okay.
That's a
I like Tyler's question that he asked, and just two things came to mind while he was asking that question. Was there's a really great quote that I like, which says that God's not looking for ability, he's looking for availability. And then the second one was, I think I was reading The First 2,000 Years, I think by Cleon Skousen, and he said, why did God choose people that at first they look anointed, but he knows the past, present, and future, and they fell. Like, why would he, like, if he knew that he was going to be a corrupt king after a while, why did he still choose him? And I love what Skousen said. He said, God always sees us as the best version of ourselves.
So, if we've done everything we can to overcome the physical, the emotional, the illusion, we want to work on those and figure out where we are. And you may have, like, say you might have 70% of your emotional self under control and maybe 50% of your illusions, but you're still working on both of them a little bit. But as you're working on these, make yourself useful. If you make yourself useful, then the principle of Jesus Christ applies. And what does the name of Jesus Christ mean?
One who is anointed to save or to raise higher.
To deliver. Anointed to deliver. Okay, so when you take upon yourself the name of Jesus Christ, you take upon yourself the idea that you are also anointed to deliver. To deliver who? Your fellow man and woman. To take them and those that are behind the path on you and pull them up to where you are. And then when you do that, you will have somebody above you pull you up to where they are. And that's an eternal chain. And this is the true meaning of taking upon yourself the name of Jesus Christ to deliver your fellow men and women, to serve them and bring them up anywhere that you are above them in knowledge and ability, and they want to be where you are, pull them up to where you are, and then your soul will take notice of you. Not only will your soul take notice of you, but higher lives will take notice of you. Higher lives that are distinct even from your own soul. Okay, any comments or questions before we sign off here?
Well, it's like my teacher said, what I'm giving to you is not just for you. What I'm giving to you is not just for you, but what you will do with it. You know, I could sit here and think, what a wonderful boy am I, but if I didn't share and serve, it's useless.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that go to seminars that cost them thousands of dollars. I was just reading one on YouTube. He's having a gathering like we have in Hawaii, nice location. It's charging $8,000 to attend. You know, dropping a bucket for it, maybe. But only people with substantial finances can attend. What our soul is looking for is us reaching out to others. Doesn't matter what our financial situation is, but to try to bring them up to where we are, no matter what station they are. Okay, any other comments or questions? Okay, my friends, it's been interesting. Mm-hmm.